Good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. There is something that makes me come into God's presence. My helper, I say, there is something that makes me come into your presence. You are my helper. My helper. My helper. You are my helper. My helper. I say, there is something that makes me come into your presence, my helper. We lift your name higher. 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 Oh yeah. There is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper. You are my helper. My helper. My helper. Oh, I say there is something, oh yes. There is something, oh yes. There is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper. Oh, there is something that makes me come into your presence, my helper, my helper, my helper, my helper, my helper. I say there is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper, we lift your name higher. We lift your name higher. Your name higher. We lift 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 your name higher. Your name higher. We lift your name higher. We lift your name. Higher, we lift your name higher. 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 You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. Way, you are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh. Alpha. Omega, you are Yahweh. You are Yahweh. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. Glory be to the Lord in the highest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord in the highest. Hallelujah. Everybody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. 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 Glory be to the Lord in the highest. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. Thank you for coming in. Let's just enter into his presence with thanksgiving. Come into his courts with praise. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, oh, hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Let's praise him this morning. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, let's just praise him this morning. Thank you for morning, for a newborn day. We can melt you. A new morning, we thank you for the sunshine and the air that we breathe, oh Lord. We thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Come on, somebody, praise his name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, this morning. Oh, yes, we thank you, Lord, for the hour that blooms. Birds that sing, fish that swim on the light of the moon. We thank you every morning as we kneel and pray that we will open with eyes to see this thing.
Thank
oh,
you,
yes.
Jesus.
Oh, yes. We. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. 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 You love him this morning. You Lord the Lord. Glory to God. Oh, pour your heart out to him. Say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I
lift my voice to worship you,
oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King.
In what you
hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your
we love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. And I
lift my
voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice.
Take joy, my King,
my King.
In what
you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Good morning again, everyone. Let's share the room. Share the room. I believe it's going to be powerful. Share the room. Invite some people. Invite five or more people. Share the room. Share the room. Share the room.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I keep falling in love with
him
over and over. Over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over. Over and over again, he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over again.
Over
again. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Over and over again. He gets sweeter as the days go by. My Lord, we take my Lord and I keep falling in love with him. Over and over again. Father, we thank you this morning. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, for your name that is above every name. We thank you for your thoughts and your plans towards us that are for peace and for good and never for evil. We thank you, Lord, because you have foreseen everything, and you know how to bring it all together for our good. Glory to God. We love you this morning as we are in this room again to open the morning. Bible says that in the womb of the morning, oh, we have the dew of youth. Renew our youth this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I love the Lord this morning. I glorify the Lord. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now that's all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let every part of me bless the Lord this morning. Bless his holy name. Why? Because he is the one that forgiveth my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. Now that's all my diseases. He redeemeth my life from destruction and crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfieth my youth and my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust. Glory to God. But the mercy of the Lord, that's right, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. That's many generations, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to get started. Good morning this morning. We are here again in the fire room, trying to get some prayer fire in our hearts. Get our hearts fired up this morning, because the Lord is sending revival waves. You know, so this is the hour of power. And God bless you, Sister Pearl. Good to see you. Mr. Grace, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for joining. Mr. Yolanda, God bless you. God bless you, Leonard. Thank you all for joining. Let's kick it off this morning. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful. Share the room. Share the room. Invite some friends. Today, we will be praying, and I'm going to be using this topic for our prayer today. Divine appointments. We're going to use that for our prayer topic today. But before we get started on that, let's remind ourselves the reason we are doing this, which is our theme scripture. We're always going to refer back to that. Leviticus chapter 6, hallelujah, and verses 12 and 13. This is our theme scripture. That's why we must keep this fire burning. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. That's what we're doing now. And they must lay the offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Glory to God. Shall never go out. Divine appointments this morning. I'm going to talk around that a little bit. I'm going to use that to pray. And I'm going to be declaring some things around that for everyone this morning in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Now listen, you know, what is a divine appointment? What is it? A divine appointment. What is it? Well, A divine appointment is a meeting, you know, that was inspired and arranged by God, whether or not the participants are aware of it. Now, let me say that again. A divine appointment is a meeting of people that was arranged by God, whether or not the participants are aware of it. You know, so God positions things in order, you know, and he does that in order to bring to pass certain things that he wants to bring to pass. And he can arrange meeting between people that don't even know anything about it. He can arrange that certain things happen at certain times. He can arrange that somebody be at a certain place at a certain time, whether they are aware of it or not. You know, God is behind all these arrangements that he does for his own purposes. Now, so we're going to be talking about that a little bit, and we're going to be praying around that today. And at the end, I'm going to declare some things about divine appointments in your life. Divine appointments in your life. Now, when God puts a person in the right place at exactly the right time, that's called a divine appointment or a divine positioning. Now, God's the one that does it. They may or may not know the reason why they are there, as we are going to see, you know, from a few stories in the Bible. You know, we'll just go through them real quickly to set a background for this. Then we're going to go into a powerful session of declaration, you know, that God will order. Remember, steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That God will order our steps, that we will be in the right places at the right times, that God will, you know, appoint the people to meet us, you know, the people that God has appointed, you know, and that God will deliver us from evil appointments. You know, we will not be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, we will not be partakers of any evil that was intended. But God will direct our paths into the right places to meet appointments that he has set up. So that we're going to be talking about that. You know, first story here today is Genesis chapter 24. You know, there's a story there in Genesis chapter 24. I'll just paraphrase it, you know, but you can read from verses 12 of Genesis 24 to about 21. And what happened in that story? Well, you know, Abraham, of course, commanded his servant to get a wife, you know, for his son, you know. So, and the servant goes and makes this prayer. And he says, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed." Now, good speed leads to, you know, God's speed. And it also leads to divine appointment. "Send me good speed today and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water." And the waters and the daughters of the city, they come to draw water. "And let it come to pass." Now, he's actually praying about it, but he doesn't know whom God is going to send. So in this case, he's expecting to meet somebody. This is a slight variation of all the things we're going to talk about today. He's expecting. And it's a good thing to always pray that the Lord will direct our paths. So he's expecting and say, "Lord, I don't know whom you're going to send with me to my master's house to be the wife of my master's son. But let it be that this person that does such and such, when I ask her for drink, you know, and she will not only give me to drink, but also give my camels to drink," and so on and so forth. "Let it be that person that thou hast appointed," notice that word, "that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." So, you know, and then it came to pass, before he had done speaking, wow, you know, God was already sending the lady, even while he was praying, you know, because she had to come from a long distance to get there, quite a trek to get there. You know, so, you know, even while he was praying and saying, Lord, direct my path today, give me Godspeed, send the right person. I don't know who I'm going to pick, but the one that you have appointed, that's the word. The one that you have appointed, show me favor today. All right. So she came and, you know, the rest of the story. So it was Rebecca that came and, she not only gave him water when he asked for it, she also drew water for his camels and so on and so forth. You know, so that was a divine appointment. I'm going to leave that story right there. There are some more interesting stories that I want to tell. You know, I will leave that one right there. But that one is interesting too, you know. So, but let's leave that right there. But you get the point. How, you know, there's a lesson we see here. How the servant prayed to the Lord to direct his path into meeting the right person. You know, and we need that, you know. We need that. Whatever you're doing, you know, sometimes you are in search of something. You know, sometimes people are even in search of a job. They're in search of some business connections. They're in search of this and that. You know, the Lord needs to direct your path and give you an encounter that is orchestrated by his own divine appointment, you know, rather than us just stumbling around, just, you know, hoping. No, let the Lord guide and direct. So we're going to be praying about that today. There is a story here in the book of Acts chapter 8. This story from about verses 26 to about 40. This story about, you know, Philip, you know, the evangelist who went down to Samaria to preach, you know, there in the cities of Samaria. Great miracles were happening. You know, great miracles were happening. You know, but little did he know what God had in store for him. God actually pulled him off from those miracles and asked him to go someplace else in the midst of all of the great things that the Lord was doing right there. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Now, you are in the city. You are doing great miracles. The whole city is rejoicing because they are seeing and hearing the miracles that you are doing. People are coming, you know, and turning their hearts to the Lord. They're bringing their curious hearts. They're turning them over. Great joy was in that city. And in the middle of all of that, you know, the angel of the Lord says to you, get up, leave this place and go into the desert. Now, I don't know about that. You know, most people would say that's not the voice of the Lord. You know, how can I leave, you know, all that God is doing here and then go into the desert? Maybe they start to rebuke that voice. But this man, he knew the voice of the Lord, you know, and he arose and went. Obedience is always so key to walking with God. If we are to walk with God, if we are to achieve great things, God is to do great things in our life. It's always precipitated upon our obedience. And the Spirit of the Lord tells you, then he says, and you do. That's it. Jesus said, you know, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. You can read all about it in John 14, 21 to about 23. You know. And if he loves me and keeps my commandment, my Father and I will come and will make our abode with him. We'll sup with him. But if a man doesn't love me, he won't keep my commandments. You got to put it right out there. You know, so obedience is so key. So Philip arose and went, and behold, when he got into the desert, there was a man from Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. This man had tremendous power. You know, I don't know his, you know, what he was, maybe chief of army staff or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, he had treasure of all her treasure, might have been, the finance minister or whatever. And he came to Jerusalem to worship, you know, and was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading the book of Isaiah. So one thing led to another, you know, Philip joined himself, even as the Lord said to him, go near and join yourself unto the chariot. And eventually, salvation comes to the life of that man. He was even baptized. He takes the gospel back to Africa. And whoa, that's exactly right. You know, I mean, one encounter right there brings somebody into contact with a person of great influence that not only gives their life to Christ, gets baptized, understands the scriptures, takes the same message and fire back to Africa. Wow. Now that could have been how, you know, the gospel got to Ethiopia, you know, because of one man's obedience, who was Philip, you know. So God will, you know, speak to our hearts, but then, you know, in order for us to do the things that he wants to accomplish in our lives, but we must obey. Glory to God. Now, here is another appointment, a divine appointment that God set up. The story of Elijah, the Tishbite, the prophet, you know, a rough figure, you know, but he stood before the presence of the Lord. Elijah and the widow woman of Zarephath. You know, you can read that story in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 to about 16. As the story went, Elijah called for famine, you know, because he wanted to get the attention of all the people that had gone a-whoring, you know, after, you know, Baal and all these other, you know, crazy gods they had in those days. And for about three and a half years, there was famine in the land. And the Lord sent Elijah during that famine. The Lord sent him to go, you know, someplace where the ravens would feed him. Hallelujah. Beautiful story, you know. So let's pick it up in, you know, when the Lord told him to go to the brook, it's called Cherith, you know, that is close to Jordan. But we pick up the story in verse 7 of 1 Kings 17. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You know, so the brook dried up. Now, this part of it is even interesting before we even get into any other part. You know, I mean, the Lord sent this man over there. He said, look, listen to this. You know, let me back up a little bit. You see, the Lord said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens. Now, Elijah didn't know that until the Lord told him. I have commanded the ravens there to feed you. Wow. You talk about room service. I mean, ravens bringing this man food twice a day. But the Lord said, I'm the one that commanded them to feed you. You know, so, and they were doing it. And he was drinking of the river. But at some point, the river dried up because there was no rain. The river needed rain to supply its flow. So it dried up. It was Elijah that said there should be no rain. So he himself is going to suffer the consequences now after a while. You know, but, you know, when the Lord told him to go over there and sending him ravens to, I mean, bring, commanding the ravens to bring him food every day. I often ask people, I said, the Lord that did all of that, could he not have sustained the river from getting dry? I mean, why did the Lord allow the river to dry up? I mean, the Lord could have commanded that river to stay and not dry. Or even Elijah himself could have been rebuking the river for drying up. You know, when the Lord said, get up and go, he would say, no. He could have said that. No. You know, I rebuke the water. I command it to come back and all of that and so forth. You know, and he would have missed a tremendous blessing that God was planning. You know, God knows what he is doing. You know, he may send you to a place and then he may change the instructions later on. In this case, you know, he sent him over there, he sustained him, but the brook got dry. But God allowed the brook to dry up. You know, God did not prevent the brook from drying up. Because, you know, sometimes when the brook dries up, it's time to move to someplace else. So the brook dried up and it was time for him to move. But he didn't know it.
And the Lord said to him, he said, look, get up and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Listen to this. I have commanded. Just like he commanded the ravens, he also said, I have commanded. Now, God was really looking out for this Elijah man. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, it was actually going to be a 2-for-1 blessing. You know, so Elijah, because he knew the voice of the Lord, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the city, I mean, the Lord had told him, but he didn't know until the Lord told him. But he actually didn't know who it was, you know, until the Lord was going to show it to him. And the woman had no knowledge of it at all. You know, so one or more parties in the arrangement doesn't have a clue of what's going on, but God arranged it. That's a divine appointment. Either both parties know nothing, or at least one of them know nothing about it. It's a divine appointment. You know, just like Rebecca didn't know anything. You know, the servant of Abraham was praying about it, but Rebecca knew nothing, and God brought them together. It was a divine appointment. You know, the Ethiopian Enoch knew nothing, you know, but God sent Philip over there. He didn't actually know who he was going to meet. You know, that's a divine appointment. You know, all these stories are divine appointment. One side may have a little bit of clue. They don't know everything, but the other person knows nothing at all. You know, and so this widow lady had no clue that God had actually commanded her to sustain Elijah. And can you just imagine that for a minute? How can God command somebody to do something and they have no knowledge of it? Just think about that. Let that sink in. You know, God walks in the ordinances of heaven and he sets the dominion thereof upon the earth. When God gives an unction in heaven, things go into operation and God is going to watch over it and cause it to come to pass. Even though the woman knew nothing about it. So Elisha said to her, give me something to drink while you are going, you know, fetch me, you know, something to eat and all that. And you know the rest of the story. So the woman says, well, I don't have anything. All I have left is this little thing and I'm going to make a cake for my son. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. This is our last meal. So she knew nothing about what God had put together. But Elijah said to her, no, nobody is dying today. You just go do as you say, but bring me something. For thus saith the Lord. My goodness, I love that. And he brought that thus saith the Lord point blank. You know, he said, thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. Woo. The barrel, you know, of meal shall not waste. And the cruse of oil shall not fail. And he put it right there. Glory to God. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she did eat many, many days. Because God multiplied that little that she had. That was a divine appointment. And not only for her, but also for Elijah. And she sustained Elijah throughout those whole time. God orchestrated it. You know, God orchestrated, you know, that. There was a man. There's a story in John chapter 5. Now, this man didn't know that he was going to have an encounter with the master, you know, that day. Now, of course, Jesus, he knew it, but the man didn't know it. So this man, 38 years of infirmity, and he kept coming every time, you know, looking for the stirring of the pool by the angel of the Lord. The mercy of God in those days, angel would come and stir the pool and all that. So, but being lame on his feet, he was too slow to get in there, and he was only the first person that got in after the stirring of the water that got his miracle. So this day, but he kept coming. That's a good thing. He was persistent. He was resilient. You know, he would never give up. He kept coming. And so on this day, this was the day of his appointment. This was the day of his visitation. Now, he didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. It's a divine appointment. Now, coming upon the scene, Jesus knowing his condition like that, yes, he's been there like a long time, says to him, would thou be made whole? And an exchange of conversation goes on. You know, the man said, what kind of a question is that? Would I be made whole? I'm coming here all the time. I'm looking for my miracle. I just can't get in fast enough. Somebody always gets in ahead of me. And you know, it's only the, and so he tells Jesus, you know, it's only the first person that gets in there. And I'm too slow. You know, I don't know, you know, but you know, I'm going to keep coming until I get in there. And Jesus says to him, forget the water, forget the angel. Today, it's not about that. I'm right here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, you know, that's a lesson for some of us. You know, when we are, you know, thinking of and asking some God for something, well, zoned in into one direction, we think that's where the miracle or the help is coming from. Don't worry about that. You know, God is full of resources. He's got all kinds of things he can pull out, you know. And for people zoning, you know, they think their help is coming from that place. And this man say, I have no man to help me. People are always saying, well, nobody will help me, you know, and so forth. And they're looking, they're just looking in one direction. This man thought his miracle had to come through the water. It had to come at a certain season, you know, and if he didn't get there, he would have to wait till the next year and all of that and so on and so forth, you know. And Jesus said, forget all that. Forget the water. Forget the angel. Right now, today, I'm right here. Glory to God. So that's a lesson for some of us. Don't zero in on something that you think that's where your answer is coming from. Zero in instead on the Lord. Now, that was a divine appointment. But let me tell you this story that is even far more interesting. There is a story in the book of Esther, chapter 6 in the Bible. You know, Esther chapter 6, there is a story of Haman and Mordecai. Mordecai was Esther's uncle, as you know it. Haman was a man that got promoted by the king. You know, he was over some, you know, he had some authority and so forth, and he was promoted even more. And everybody did him obeisance. Everybody bowed down before him, except Mordecai, who sat at the king's gate. And every day he passed by, Mordecai refused to worship this man. So the man got furious and they began to plot how he's going to kill or get rid of Mordecai. I got to bump him off. You know, he's just, what kind of disdain? You know, I am Haman and look at me. All that, you know, the king has bestowed upon me and so forth. And this man, who is he? He's not even going to respect me. And everybody put fire under him, say, well, you know, yeah, you know, get rid of him. And not only him, get rid of all his tribe, you know, which were the Jews, you know. So interesting story, you know. And but this Mordecai before that had actually, you know, notified the king a couple of times about some coup that was planned against them and saved them from insurrection. But nothing was done for him. So as the story went, to cut the long story short, on the day that Mordecai was planning, now this is divine appointment. Listen to this. On the day that Haman was planning to come to the king to ask permission to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had made, and so on and so forth. On that very day, the night before, the angel of the Lord troubled the king so that he could not sleep. Now, this is how God does his things. You know, why was it on such a day that he could not sleep? You know, he couldn't sleep. The Lord took away his sleep from him because God wanted to do something. You know, this is how, you know, anytime you read in the scriptures that God does these strange things, there's something that God is cooking. So this is how God was fixing this thing to happen. So this man said, I can't sleep. He called the chamberlain and said, look, you know, give me something to read. You know, so they bring him all the, you know, journals and the chronicles and all the, you know, things that, you know, and, you know, he began to read. And then as he was reading, the Lord again directed him to the place. He could have read anything. There's all kinds of things written there. But he found the place where it was written that Mordecai had done this service to the house of the king and had delivered him from insurrection a couple of times. And he said, was there anything done for this man? And they said, nothing. He said, okay, All right. Well, I'm going to do something. So at that very moment, this is a divine appointment. You know, even God will cause your enemies to serve up on your table. That's right. The Bible says that the Lord prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And not only that, your enemies will serve you on that table. So this man that coming in with fury, trying to get permission to hang Mordecai and kill all the Jews, you know, he came in at that very moment when the king was saying, who is in the court? I need to send somebody. And they looked and they said, oh, Haman is there. And said, good, let him come in. You know, so when he comes in, this is a divine appointment. Now, you know, Haman didn't know what God was fixing to do. He came in to do evil and to destroy God's heritage, but God wouldn't let him, you know. So, and the king said, look, if I need to promote somebody and bless him and exalt him and so on, what shall I do to him? And he thinking that who else would the king promote? You know, I mean, I'm getting all these things. I'm getting invitation to dinner from this queen and all these things. Yeah, it's got to be me. Can't be anybody else. So he piles up a bunch of things that the king must do to promote this person because he thinks it's going to be him. Oh, you know, take your robe off of you and put it on him. Take your ring off of him, put it on him. Take your chariot and give it to him. Let them proclaim him throughout the city and let them bow before him. Let them do all these things. So because he thought it was going to be him, glory to God. And the king said, that's exactly right. As you have spoken in my ear, so you will do. Do not diminish aught of any of the things that you have spoken. Now you go and do this thing that you have said to Mordecai. Ooh, glory to Jesus. I love that story. Your would-be destiny destroyer, God turned them around to be the one that will actually be your destiny promoters. Ooh. Destiny helpers. Oh, and look at how God turned the tables around. But the divine appointment part of this story was that this man came in at the exact hour, the very moment that the king was looking for somebody to send. And he brought somebody who was going to pile up all of the blessings. You know, if Haman had thought it was somebody else, he probably wouldn't have said all the things that the king should do. He probably say, just give him a day off or something. You know, he probably say something simple, you know. But he piled up all the blessings because he didn't know that he was the one that was going to give those blessings to somebody else. He thought it was coming to him. Now, that is how divine appointment works. I could go on and on, but I want to leave it right there. We're going to pray, you know, that God will order your steps today and in the days ahead, you know, to according to divine appointments. That's right. Divine appointment. I mean, I've told enough stories for you now to see that God can orchestrate these things. You know, he can put somebody, he can command somebody to do something for you that they don't even know about. You know, he can command you to go to a place that you don't know what he's going to do. You know, but we got to trust the Lord. So today, you know, I just want to do this prayer this way today. You know, because, you know, when we are seeking the Lord, you know, I've found that, look, you know, sometimes people are really trying to serve the Lord and they're doing their best. And so, but they are hindered by some other things that are happening. They can't get some breakthrough in some areas. And so we're always wondering, you know, why, you know, you take one step forward, a couple steps backwards and all these things, and things are not even moving. And we want you to be moving forward in this dynamic haze of power that God is bringing upon us right now. And there are some elements of distraction. We need to get rid of those distractions. And one way that God will get rid of those distractions for you is by divine appointments. He will set up things in place, you know, and you will walk in and reap something that you know nothing about, because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. He put you in the right place at the right time. And I say, also, I will be declaring and praying, and we want to pray also this morning, that the Lord will deliver you from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's a lot of people that are in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, I mean, Jesus, he told the story in Luke chapter 13. You know, they told him this and that and so forth, you know, and then he said, look, those people upon whom the tower, those 18 people upon whom the tower fell in Siloam, do you think that they were sinners above everybody else? You know, no. Jesus said, well, except you repent, you also will perish. You can read that in the first few verses of Luke chapter 13. But those people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know. Now, so God must also deliver us from that. Now, that tower was going to fall. You know, but why did they have to be in there for the tower to fall upon them? You know, so when evil is determined and must happen, you know, also by divine appointment, God will keep you away from there. You know, we have stories even in contemporary times, in real time stories of how God has kept people away from evil. You know, by the angel of the Lord delaying something and causing them to not be in that place where evil would happen. You know, and sometimes it might be something as simple as, you know, the angel of the Lord will blind your eyes so you can't find your keys. Might be that simple. God has shown me these things. Be that simple. You can't find your keys. You look everywhere. You can't find those keys, you know, and then you freak out because you are late for something or whatever. But God is protecting you from something else. And, you know, after that evil is overpassed, then all of a sudden, those keys appear in plain view. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, absolutely. Because the angel of the Lord was trying to keep you from some evil. And then you won't find anything, you know, and you search everywhere. And you've looked in the same place several times. And then a day or so later, you just find the keys right there. And say, what? Right there, in plain view. As if, you know, you hadn't looked. And he was there the whole time. But the angel of the Lord, he just covered your eyes so you wouldn't see it to prevent you from some evil. And you never know. I mean, this is how great our God is. You never know what evil that God is protecting us from. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're late for an appointment and you're freaking out, don't worry about it, you know, because you don't know what God is doing. I have a friend who, you know, was supposed to catch a flight and they were waiting in the house and somebody was going to come to take over. You know, there were some young children and they had to go, you know, to the airport and so on, you know, and the person that was supposed to come so that he could go, they didn't arrive on time, you know, and he couldn't leave because he couldn't just leave the young children in the house. This happened back in Nigeria a few years ago, you know, and he freaked out, you know, angry and all kinds of things and so forth, you know. But, you know, eventually, anyway, he missed that flight. Well, this is a true story. This is not a fiction. It actually happens that flight crashed. And most everybody that was in that flight died just a few years ago. You know, this was the time, I mean, some of you who know some of those stories in Nigeria, you know, where they used to have those domestic flights crashing at all those times, there was such a story like that. Now, you know, divine appointment. In this case, you know, God preventing him from evil, but he not knowing it, you know, all walked up and everything because the person told you that will come to watch the kids so he could go, didn't come on time. But, you know, lo and behold, the Lord knows what he's doing. You know, we have another, you know, I have another friend who, you know, who's a pilot, you know, and, you know, one day, you know, he traded duties with somebody and the flight that he was going to have been on crashed and he was saved. Now, we don't wish evil on anybody else, But you can see how God can save you from evil. Did not Jesus teach the disciples to pray that very prayer? Deliver us from evil. That's a good prayer. Deliver us from evil. You know, the evil is going to happen, but God should deliver me from it. Deliver your loved ones. Deliver your children. Deliver your family. Deliver the brethren that love the Lord from this evil. The evil will happen. Evil is determined in some cases. They will happen, you know, but the Lord should deliver. Jesus, when he was praying in John chapter 17 for his disciples, he said, look, Father, I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You know, so, you know, that's what God wants to do. And he has many ways of doing it. One of the ways is what we are talking about today. Hallelujah. You know, he's talking about how to keep. I mean, we're talking about how God can use divine appointments both to bless you and also to protect you. And you never know, you know, how God is doing, but you must trust in the Lord. We have to trust in the Lord every time that the Lord would, he knows what he's doing. And when things, you know, when we are, you know, the Bible says, look, you know, you can plan, a man devises his ways, but the Lord directs his paths. You know, and people plan things, but God, you know, God will direct it. So the outcome will be to your favor. That's right. You know, so, but you must trust the Lord for that. You must absolutely trust the Lord with that. You know, no matter what's going on, absolutely trust him. You know, let him have control. Let him be in charge. And he can put things in place for you. So that's our prayer today. That's our prayer today. Divine appointments in my life. I'm going to say, oh Lord, set up those divine appointments in my life. You know, that your will for me will be accomplished. That's right. That's going to be our prayer today. I want you to come to the stage and come and pray. And let's pray together today that the Lord will deliver me from evil. Pray for your household. Pray for your children. You know, and he knows how to do it. You know, and there are some things also that you are wanting God to do for you, which, you know, only by divine appointment God will orchestrate it to come to pass. You know, but you must be, when God wants to bless us, we must be in the right place at the right time to receive that blessing. You know, but if we trust him completely with our lives, if you allow him to interrupt your programs, interrupt your day, interrupt your plans, you know, and all of that, and just trust him, he has a way that he will bring things. He will command things into play that we don't even know anything about. It's called divine appointments. Glory to God. So now I am going to pray and declare some things over those of you who are in the room. You know, divine appointments. These are so critical in our lives. You know, where will you be at the time that God wants a blessing to be in your life? Will you be in the right place or will you be in the wrong place? You know, the people that God are positioning in place, whether they are for you or against you, doesn't really matter. I'm showing you stories here today that they are for you or against you. It doesn't really matter. You know, when the brothers of Joseph plotted to kill him, you know, and, you know, they, you know, say, well, let's kill him. One of his brothers said, no, you know, let's throw him over here. Because he was thinking, you know, even among the would-be destiny destroyers, God was still having some destiny helpers, you know, both Judah and Reuben, they were trying to help the man, you know, and they were saying, look, you know, but at the very right time, at the appointed time, when they were thinking, let's kill him, draw him out and kill him, they saw a carriage coming of some Ishmaelites that were going somewhere. I said, well, why should we kill him? Let's just sell him to these people and let be done with it. Just get rid of him anyway. You know, so at that very right time, this group of travelers, this carriage that were carrying slaves that came at the very right time. And so God used that to save the life of the young man and sent him away so that they wouldn't kill him. It was a divine appointment that brought those people at the right time. And you know the rest of the story. Everything, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing led to another. A lot of divine appointments in his life. You know, and even when he went to prison for a crime he did not commit, you know, God positioned the baker and the butler there, and eventually, one of them, you know, even though it took him 2 years to remember the good that Joseph did for him, eventually he would remember. And it was by divine appointment that Joseph was in the prison with the baker and the butler. You know, and if he hadn't been there, he would never have had a chance to stand before Pharaoh. And finally, when he stood before Pharaoh, on the recommendation of the man that he had, his dream had helped and everything, you know, I mean, the reinterpretation of the dream had helped, you know, in one day, he was promoted from prison to ruler over the land. Divine appointments. God knows how to work these things for our benefit. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who are in the room right now. I pray for those who have listened. I pray for those who will be listening later on. You know, there is something, Lord, as something that you're doing in our lives, you know, many times that we don't understand. And I pray, Lord, that rather than grumbling, rather than freaking out, rather than being frustrated, I begin to understand the power of divine appointments in our lives. The power of how you can set things up for our benefit. Even as the scripture has said that you are able to make all things work together for our good. I begin to pray this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even appointments, you know, from you, Lord, to put us in the right place to make an encounter with something that's going to set up some greatness in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, you shall go out with joy, you be led forth with peace, the mountain and the hills will break forth before us into singing. All the trees, you will line up those trees by divine appointment to be positioned at different places to help celebrate the success of your people. They will be there in the name of the Lord Jesus. The trees will line up, be lined up by God to clap their hands for you in the name of Jesus Christ and for your children in Jesus' name. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord God Almighty, you know, that when you speak, help our ears to be open and to be obedient. You know, sometimes you may tell us to do weird things that, you know, don't make sense at the moment. You know, leave the brook, go someplace else, leave the revival, go into the desert, do this and this and that. You know, but you have something that you are doing and something that you don't owe us any explanation to explain your ways. For my ways, saith the Lord, are higher than yours. And my thoughts are higher than yours. As the heavens are high above the earth, so far are the Lord's thoughts and his ways above ours. And Father, may we surrender our thoughts to yours. May we surrender our ways to yours. That the things that you are planning and the things that you have put in place unknown to us, but for our benefit, that we may come into those appointments, that we may come into those encounters. And I declare today, yes, that you will have some divine appointments. That's exactly right. Divine appointments.
Amen.
In your life. That will bring you into the desired heaven. The Lord will bring you into the place, but he has a way that he's going to do it. The Lord will command people to serve you, even when they don't know that they're going to do it. I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain you. The widow woman had no clue that she was going to do that. Lord, I pray this prayer over the lives of your people. You know, that God will begin to teach us and we will make our hearts teachable to receive instruction from you. Oh, yes. Inspiration of the Almighty to be in the right place at the right time. The inspiration of the Almighty to bring forth the goodness of God that God has ordained in our lives, even whether we are aware of it or the other parties that God is using will be aware of it or not. But God is able to do it. I pray, Lord, that you will help our spiritual ears to be open to the instructions of the Spirit. And I pray that our eyes will be open, Lord, as you begin to lead us, that also our minds will be open. I declare that our hearts are open this morning. Our minds are open. Our ears are clear. Our eyes are clear. We can receive instruction, clarity from the Lord. I declare that our minds are clear this morning. We are not clogged up. Jesus said, he that walks after me follows me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I declare that we are not confused. We are not confused this morning. We're not in darkness. There's no stumbling around, but we have the light of life. The light of life drops into our hearts. I declare that even while we are sleeping, the Bible says, even while you sleep, God will seal the instruction in your heart. I declare that God begins to seal instruction in our heart that when we wake up in the morning, you know, we are on our path to a divine appointment, whether we know it or not, that God's divine appointments in our lives will begin to work for our good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, Alexis. Good morning, Marcita. Good morning, Sister Grace, Sister Dana. Good morning, Femi, all of you. God bless you. And of course, Sister Pearl on stage. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let me look over here. And let's see if anybody has posted something that I need to be aware of. Yeah, some scriptures are posted here. You know, thank you. Thank you for posting. Praise God. Praise God. Welcome, Sister Pearl. I'm going to let you pray. You know, go ahead and, you know, say what comes to your mind. You know, you can give a comment about what you've heard. You can also pray over the room and over yourself and your children, you know, and take advantage of God's divine appointments. Go ahead. God bless you.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. I'm just so happy to be here. I thank God for another day. And this room, this hour of power has been really, really blessing me. I'm so grateful. It's changed my trajectory. So I just want to thank God for this room. It's funny, this is an interesting topic because as of yesterday, you know, God has shown me how he worked a divine appointment out in my life that began 15 years ago. This teaching is right on the money for me. And sometimes when things happen, you don't know why you're doing them, why you're going where you're going, why bad things are happening. But God knows what he's doing. Just like you said, Pastor, his ways, our ways are not his ways. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than ours. And I just thank God for it, for just understanding. I'm starting to see that a lot of times when I do odd things that don't even necessarily make sense to me, it's God ordering my steps. And I just thank God that at those times I'm obedient without even realizing it. And so I just pray that God makes all of our hearts malleable and makes us spiritually flexible to be able to obey him even when we don't realize it. you know. I just want to pray that God helps us to be open to our destiny helpers. There are many people that he sends to us. There are certain people that he's sent to me in the past 3 years that are just there. They'll just help, you know, divine appointments in your life. And you just look like, God, why is this person here? But we just pray that we don't miss our divine appointments. None of us will miss our divine appointments in Jesus' name. None of us will miss our destiny helpers in Jesus' name. God will bless our destiny helpers in the mighty name of Jesus. And also that, just like Pastor said, we don't, we're not at the wrong place at the wrong time. We pray that God will blind the eyes of the enemies to us, that they will not, the enemy will not see us in the mighty name of Jesus. Calamity will not befall us in the mighty name of Jesus. God will keep us from where we should not be in the mighty name of Jesus. I just want to pray for everybody that God just divinely orders all of our steps in this room and our family steps, and just helps us and to help our hearts to be open and softened, and for God to help us to push past the habits, spiritual barriers, physical barriers that are blocking us from getting to where God needs us to be in the mighty name of Jesus. I just want to give a shout out to Pastor Yato. He's just been a huge blessing. And God bless you so much, Pastor. I love you. I love your wife. And I'm so, so grateful for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Pearl. Yes, we love you too. And thank you for being here. And God's doing great things in your life, you know. He's walking them out. He may not all come into view all at once, but, you know, he has a way. He can take anything, you know, situations, whatever in our life. He's got, you know, cause God's so far ahead, you know, of us. You know, I was privileged when I was a young man to, be a chess player. You know, and I was pretty good. I used to play championship chess. I haven't done it in many years. But, you know, those really good chess players, they think several moves ahead. You know, and the really good ones, they can checkmate you right out of the box. You know, just come in there, one move, boom, you checkmate it, you're done. You know. And so that's the thing with God. God can checkmate that devil anytime he wants. You know, he just allows him to do some things, you know, but every move that the devil is going to make, God already knows it, you know. And on the other hand, the devil, he has to wait for God to make a move. You know, when you play chess, you wait, your opponent makes a move. Then you think, you try to plan, analyze all the next moves, make sure you don't put yourself in danger, you know, or a check situation and so on and so forth, you know, and you take your time, you know. The devil, he waits for God to make a move and then tries to foul it up. Now, God, on the other hand, he doesn't need to wait for the devil. God knows every move that the evil one is ever going to make. God knows every mistake that you are ever going to make in your life. God knows every good thing you're going to do, the wrong things you're going to do, even before you do them. Romans chapter 9, we're told that when, you know, Rebecca was pregnant with twins, you know, I mean, they haven't done anything. They were still in the womb. And God was already saying, the younger will be ruler over the elder. The elder will serve the younger. And all of these things. They haven't even done anything. You know, but God already knows their hearts. He already knows how they are going to turn out. He already knows everything. You know, he knows all these moves. You know, so God can checkmate the devil anytime. Anytime. Go ahead.
So I actually wanted to give an example of how God created a divine appointment for me. Alexis in this room, I went to interview for a job and she happened to be there. It was through a horrible time in my life, through a very terrible and bitter divorce. And there were many days when she and I would be the only ones in the office. We'd get there early and I would break down crying and sobbing, and she would be there for me. She would pray for me. But months later, her husband passed, and you know, it's like the tables turned around. God placed me there so that she could help me through my initial stage. And you know, she's not from here. So when her husband passed, suddenly it was, you know, God allowed me to be there for her. The whole thing was just a divine appointment. We were able to be there and support each other. And then ever since then, you know, there are mornings when we'd both be in the office, you know, crying and praying through our situations. But I know for a fact, meeting her, working together at that time was a divine appointment for God, for both of us to get us through. And that's all I wanted to share. Pastor, you're muted.
Is this the same Alexis that's right here in the room?
Yes.
Oh, Alexis, come out to the stage. Let me meet you. You know, you are such a blessing. I mean, anyone that is a friend to Pearl and is connected in Pearl's life is a blessing to me. Because Pearl, you're so dear to my heart. And I want to pray especially, you know, for Alexis. Is that how you say it, Alexis? I want to pray for you. You know what you're going through that Pearl just mentioned. Oh, I want to just pray. My heart just goes out to you today. You know, I seen you in the room. Didn't even know you were connected to Pearl. But it's so good to meet you, and you being a blessing to Pearl when in her dark days, and God put her there also to be a support system for you. And I want to just pray and, you know, release some blessings over you today. You know, you suffered some loss, is what Pearl said, but I tell you, you know, the Bible says that thy maker is thy husband. Amen. You know, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, and sometimes, you know, we have these tragedies that happen in our lives and we don't understand them. You know, but through it all, you know, I love this song. It says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. You know, no matter what we are going through, sorry about that. Yeah, turn this thing off. Sorry about that. No matter where we're going through, what we're going through, when we're going through it, oh, God is there with us. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. I want to just encourage you here this morning, Sister Alexis, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He said in His word, when you pass through the fire, and that's when, that's not if, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, and there are two key words there, it's when and it is through. So when means these things are going to happen. Through means the coming out on the other side. God already said it. You're passing through, you may be passing through some horrible, difficult, challenging times right now. But God says you will pass through. And that means you need to lift up your head. You know, you're coming out on the other side. You're not going into the water. You're not going into the fire, but you are passing through. And when you pass through, he said, I will be there with you. And we talked about destiny helpers here this morning. And sometimes even some of our destiny helpers may be horrible things in our lives. The destiny helpers in the life of Joseph, they were not only good things, they were horrible things. All the evil things that they plotted and did to him, they were actually destiny helpers. It was moving him closer and closer and closer to his destiny. All the bad things that happened to him. You know, so I want to pray for you this morning, Alexis. God bless you. Thank you so much for, you know, loving my daughter, Pearl. She's like my daughter. And I just pray for you. You were there for her, and the Lord is here for you. Amen. God bless you. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that the Lord will be your glory. Amen. And the lifter up of your head in the name of Jesus. You know, God will cause you, your head to be lifted up. Your head will not be bowed down. The scripture says, lift up your heads, O ye gates.
Amen.
Let the King of Glory come on in. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And he will never leave you nor forsake. He even said, look, will a woman that bring forth, that just brought forth a child and a suckling child, can a woman forget, you know, her? You say, yeah, they may forget, but I will never forget you. And things, you know, whatever, you know, situation that happened, the loss that you have suffered, God will strengthen you through. And I pray in the name of Jesus that even now, you know, there is a song that says, you know, God will ease the pain.
Amen.
You know, he'll lift you up. Amen. He'll make it easier for you. Yeah. You know, God, Lord, I pray that you set her up in a place that you have chosen to be surrounded by helpers that will help her faith, help her courage, help her to keep going and not to stay down, but to get up. Even as Micah said, Alexis, I encourage you this morning. He said, look, Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. He said, I will not stay down. He said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. There are many days that some of us sit in darkness. We sit in darkness when we lose a loved one. We sit in darkness when you go through divorce. You sit in darkness when, you know, all these things just happen around you. You know, but through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. You know, I've had many tears and sorrows. Oh, tears and sorrows. You know, the psalmist said that has been my portion night and day. But he said something too. He said, look, you know, in Psalm 42, he said, why art thou disquieting within me, O my soul? You know, he spoke to his own soul. He said, my tears have been my companion night and day. You know, I mean, people go through these things. You know, some people don't know what they're going through. You know, and it's hard sometimes, really hard. But the Lord, you know, the psalmist, in the words of the psalmist, he said, look, you know, when I remember, you know, all the things, my pain, he said, my tears have been my meat day and night in Psalm 42. You know, and the devil will say, you know, where is your God? He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I went even, he said, I even went with the multitude. I went, you know, I went to the house of God with those that kept holy day and those that, you know, voice of joy and praise. You know, sometimes we go even into the fellowship, you know, people are singing and shouting, but there is a deep wound inside our hearts, which nobody knows but us. You come in a room such as this, you know, people are saying all these things. People don't really know what everyone is going through. But he spoke to his own soul, said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Ooh, glory to God. Hope in God. And praise him anyhow. You know, even, you know, when everything looks so bleak, you know, praise him. You know, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's about, you know, high praises. You know, sometimes it's about quiet praises. You know, but if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word can do. That's the reason I say that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. You know, sometimes we can shout, you know, but sometimes we really can't shout. You know, and it may just be a quiet, you know, just thinking about the Lord, just some quietness in our hearts, you know, but whatever it is, you know, let's just praise the Lord. That's a song. It says, sometimes, ah, hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. You know, sometimes we can pray, sometimes we can shout, you know, but sometimes it's just, Lord, I trust you. So I pray for you, Alexis, this morning, that God will lift up your soul. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That he will be there for you. He's always been there for you, but you will feel his hand upon your head, upon your back, guiding you, leading you, his hand holding you, that you will never feel alone. You will never feel alone. He will be there for you in the name of Jesus. I pray for strength and for grace for you as you go through these difficult times in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Pastor Yato, I just wanted to say how God has been there for me and my family in the last 2 years. You know, just even in the getting me a pearl.
Can you speak up a bit? You're very, you know, faint.
Is it
maybe better? Come closer to the mic.
Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Much better. Okay. No, I was just saying good morning to everybody in the room, and thank you, Pastor, for praying for me. Just wanted to say, over the past 2 years, I know God has really been in setting things in order in my life, starting, you know, with Pearl being there for me, you know, and just meeting her. She's been such a blessing. And, you know, she's been there for me and my family. And I am so grateful for her. She's my sister. And we, you know, we joke a lot. But she brings me so much joy, and she helps me in my faith to continue to trust God when, you know, there are times when, you know, I would become weary. And, you know, she's just been right there for me. So many things have, you know, come up, and I'm so grateful. This past year, I met my dad after not seeing my dad for over 25 years. And it really was a milestone for me to, you know, rebuild a relationship with him. But I know God is faithful. God has been walking with me and ordering my steps. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I had a lot of dark days. I had a lot of lonely nights. And, you know, I know that God has kept me. He has brought me out of that. And he is still bringing me through. And I am so grateful for this new family. I'm so grateful for these newfound friends in my life. And I know it's only God. It is only God who has set these people in place to help me, to lift me up and guide me. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for you, Pastor. You know, I'm grateful to just be in the presence right now. And it's just really been helping my life.
Amen, amen, amen. And God bless you for the grace and the strength, you know, to carry on. You know, this is a, you know, you'll have, your story will help somebody else too. You know, everything that we go through in life, you know, divine appointments, you know, and when the Lord, you know, has brought you through, you know, and we all go through. And when he has brought you through, you know, be strong that you will help others as well. Jesus said the same thing to Peter. He said, look, the devil has desired to have you and sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. And when you are converted, you strengthen your brethren also. You know, so the Lord, he plans out our lives, you know, when we trust him. And even, you know, no matter the darkest days of our lives, no matter the hardest times, you know, once we turn everything over to him, he's already working even before we turn it out to him. But when we turn it over to him, he gives us peace that will keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, when we eventually, you know, get to heaven and hear everybody's testimonies, I mean, it would be nice for us to be able to say, well, you know, I went through and I didn't have any issues, but that won't be the case. Yeah. There won't be a single person up there that will be able to stand up and say, well, you know, my life was all mountaintops. There was no valleys. My life was always light. There was no darkness. You know, I was always on top. I was never down. It's never going to be a single person to say that. You know, even Jesus Christ himself, he faced some of the darkest days when he was in Gethsemane alone. Everybody departed from him. Even his closest disciples, James, Peter, and John, who went with Jesus everywhere. When he didn't take anybody else, he took them. You know, even they themselves, you know, they left him. You know, and there will be times, you know, and I've talked about this before. There will be times there's each one of us will have to experience our Gethsemane sometimes. You'll be all alone and you'll be all alone, but I will never leave you nor forsake you, said the Lord. It'll be like, you know, everybody, you know, is gone. It'll be just you, but he will never leave you, you know, and, so everybody's been through. And when we get there, the beauty of it will be, you know, we will be able to have a testimony of overcoming. For they overcame the devil, you know, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, that is so powerful. Revelation 12 and 11. You know, the word of your testimony puts the devil to shame. all the time. You know, when the devil thought that he cheap shot you, don't stay down. Bounce right back up and say, you know, I'm not staying down for the count. You know, I watch those fights. Sometimes the other corner will say, stay down. And in this corner, they think, get up, you know. And they say, stay down. The other one say, get up. And the Lord is always in your corner saying, get up. Look unto me. My grace is sufficient unto you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right here. You know, give me your hand. Put your footsteps in my footsteps and walk with me. Hallelujah. It's always right there with you. God bless you, Alexis. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The Lord give you strength from day to day, wisdom from day to day, you know. And there is a way that God puts instruction in your heart. He will guide you. You know, Pearl knows this. I love to share that scripture in Job 32:8. You know, the inspiration of the Almighty. It will be inside of you, guiding you. You know, you showing you things that you don't know and guiding you in a way that you don't even understand. You know, it will just deposit knowledge and inspiration in your heart. And that's my prayer for you today. As you go through, that the Lord will deposit instruction, inspiration in your heart. And he will give you the spirit of counsel. He will give you the spirit of understanding, discretion, you know, sound judgment. That the Lord will give you grace, multiply grace, as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and sometimes those dark days will bring us to, you know, a place of glory. You know, a place of glory. God will use some of that pain to bring us to a place of tremendous glory in the Lord. If we faint not. If we faint not. So I pray that the Lord will renew your strength and that you will not faint. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. And thank you for coming to the stage. You know, and so good to see you. Praise God. Marcita and Grace and Dana, thank you also for being here. Listen, today's room has been about us knowing that God's got our backs. He's got your backs. He's got some things that he's working that you may or may not know about it. But he knows what he's doing. We just need to rely on him. We just need to trust him for his grace. And when we trust him implicitly and explicitly, he will do it. There are many scriptures that we can draw strength from even today. I will go before you, saith the Lord. And I will make the crooked places straight. Isaiah 45 and verse 2. I will break asunder the gates of brass. And I will cut in pieces the bars of iron. Well, there's a lot of crooked things sometimes in our lives. You know, crooked things when the things fall apart. And the enemy say, well, you know, it looks like we made a mistake that there's no redemption from. And I had this room a couple of weeks ago. You know, it says grace. Grace when it feels like we're condemned. Redemption when it feels like it's far too late. You know, and the enemy, he's a master at it. To bring up all the, you know, bring up, oh yeah, you know, bring up the evil, bring up the loss, bring up the thing and try to make us feel like, well, God's not there for you and all of that. And you screwed up and there is no way out. But redemption when it seems that it's far too late. That's what Jesus specializes in. It's never anything too late for him. You know, as long as there is a breath of life in us, it's never too late. Look at the thief on the cross. At the very last minute, in fact, I don't know if it was even a minute or less, was already dying, was already condemned, already crucified. But he turned to Christ and said, Lord, remember me. And, you know, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And that was enough. And he acknowledged his own sin. He said, look, you know, we've done this thing. You know, said to his fellow, you know, you're not even afraid, you know, to say this thing against this man who's innocent. We deserve this thing, but he's innocent. You know, and he hasn't done any of these things that they're crucifying him for. And he said, Lord, just have mercy on me. Just remember me. And the Lord made one of the most profound statements in that entire Bible. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Glory to God. Never too late for God. God can take things that look like they are done gone, and he can turn it around. Thank you, Jesus. Even the dry bones, he said, can live again. Ezekiel 37. Dry bones, bones that have been dead for years. I mean, he said, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel said, well, Lord, I don't know, but you know. And that was a good answer. And the Lord began to give him inspiration on what to do. You know, he said, look, command this and speak to that and the wind and that and so forth. The Lord began to bring things together. Lazarus was 4 days dead in the grave, stinking and so forth. That was even a case that was even already dead. Jesus waited until the situation got even worse. You know, he had an opportunity to go when the guy was sick. You know, but, you know, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, the Bible says he waited 2 more days in the same place where he was at. I mean, why? Why in the world? I mean, would he not just not go there and heal the man already before he would be, you know, allowed to die, and all his family will be in sorrow and crying and grieving and everybody? But Jesus said, for your sakes, I was there. I mean, I'm glad that I was not there, to the end that you may even believe stronger. Because, I mean, if he had been there, he would have healed him. You know, and everybody would say, yeah, praise God. But they needed to see that Jesus could call somebody out of the grave even after 4 days being buried. Nobody had ever seen that. You know, and so he waited, and the situation got from bad to worse. You know, and sometimes we don't know what God is doing. You know, and the situation got so bad that they lost all hope. They had sent word to him and he never showed up. And that's a lesson to us sometimes. Sometimes we pray, it seems like God won't show up. And situation goes from bad to worse. And it just goes from bad to worse. And we are praying. And these people were close to Jesus. Martha and Mary. And even Lazarus. They said they were all friends of Jesus. In the natural. But he didn't show up. You know? Wow. By the time he showed up, it was like, now you show up. My brother is already dead. You know, if you would be here, he would not have died. We know that. You know, but she had enough sense in her head to say, well, you know, but even now, I know, you know, I mean, it seems too late, but even now, if you ask God anything, I know God will give it to you. I mean, she was grasping at straws. Because none of them knew in their hearts or minds or imagined it at God, what God was going to do or what Christ was going to do that day. Because this man was already dead and buried 4 days. And they said, he's already stinking by now. You know, I mean, what are we going to do now? I mean, when we're praying, you could have saved him from dying. But now he's dead and buried. And Jesus put that story, allowed that story in the Bible for us to know that with God, it doesn't matter. You know, if we can just believe, that's what Jesus said to Martha. If thou wouldest only believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You know, roll away the stone, he said. Now, you know, sometimes we have to do crazy things like that. you know, for the Lord to actually, you know, to call him out of there. People had to go dig him out of there. You know, and it's like, are you kidding? This man has been buried 4 days, stinking already. But that didn't make the Lord any difference. He knew what he was going to do, and he wanted to put that story out there to help us today. So no matter what we are going through, everyone that's listening now or to the replay, even when God doesn't seem to show up initially and things go from bad to worse, remember that with God, all things are possible. So, Father, we thank you once again in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because our members were written in your books even before we were fashioned upon the earth. Thank you because you know, the way that we should go. You know everything about us. You know our downsittings, and you know our uprisings. You know the days, Lord, when we are on the mountaintop. You know the days when we are in the valley. You know the days when we sit in light and think all is well. But we know the days also, Lord, when it looks like it's dark all around us and we cannot hear the voice of God. Lord, you know the days when it seems that God is so far away. And we are just seem like we're just left alone. But we are assured with your word this morning that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you praise and glory. And I pray and declare and decree that even beginning this day, we begin to see even more divine appointments in our lives. They've been there the whole time. We probably just didn't recognize or acknowledge that it was God. Now, having heard this lesson this morning, go forth in the name of the Lord and begin to acknowledge the divine appointments that God is doing and setting up in your life.
Amen.
And everywhere you go, I declare and decree that there will be a blessing in it for you.
Amen.
Even when it looks like it's in the opposite direction, God has a way to bring it all together. He is able to make all things work together for our good because we love him and because we are the called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord, for your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm a father. Many of us are parents and things like that. And we love our children. I mean, we want no harm. We'd do anything to protect these children. How much more our Heavenly Father? You know, but his ways are not our ways. You know, and sometimes the way that we think he should do it is not the way he's going to do it.
Okay.
Just like the story of the man we told that was looking to the angel and to the water. But that's not the way that Jesus is going to do it. He's not a one-way traffic. Does he always do things the same way all the same time? You know, he's got a million different ways that we don't even know anything about. But we trust him. We trust you, Lord. Unreservedly, we trust you this morning. Give us the grace to do that. My grace, he said, is sufficient for me. God will not always remove the problem, but my grace is sufficient for you. God will not always remove, you know, the situation, but my grace is sufficient for you, he said. And Lord, we pray, Lord, this morning that we will understand that. And step by step, the Bible says, as thou goest, you know, step by step, thy steps shall not be straightened. The Lord will open the way before you, step by step. Even when you don't know it, just take one step after the other. Just as he's ordering you and guiding you and leading you. And at the end, when you look back, you'll say, wow. that was indeed a divine appointment. I declare and decree the angels of the Lord are in service for you today.
Amen.
Every day of your lives. Amen. The Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister on behalf of those who are heirs of salvation? So let the angels of God go into operation for you this morning.
Amen.
Let them begin to do things. Put things in place. And the Lord will say, you know, yeah, I've seen my daughter, Alexis. I've seen Pearl. She's believing something. You go down there and make sure it happens. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, let those angels go into operation and let them put things together and help us to believe and trust you through the process. The process is so critical. Not just the end result, but the process. When you pass through, I will be there with you. As you go through this process, the Lord grant you the grace to understand that it is all well. In Jesus' name. It is well, and it shall be well, and it continues to be well. The grace of God be with us throughout this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me look in the chat room and see if there's any other things anybody wants us to pray about. Okay. Glory to God. All right. Thank you, everyone, for being here today. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 All right, Marcita, I see you are raising your hand. All right. Well, let's see. Let me bring you here and see what's on your mind. Praise God. Amen. What's on your mind? God bless you. Good morning.
Good morning. God bless you. I just wanted to ask for prayer because I've been diagnosed with the COVID virus. It came on abruptly. And I work in the school systems with the children. And there seems to be a resurge of the virus, but there's not a lot of alert. So I just wanted to actually ask for prayer because it's aggressive and it's lingering. I'm okay, but I got the process that it has to go through because it's a virus.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask for prayer and not just for myself, but for the whole situation as a whole.
Amen. And we would definitely pray. What city are you in?
I'm in Warren, Ohio.
All right. Well, we're going to pray for that. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let us pray. I want Sister Pearl, would you pray for Marcita first and just pray that, you know, God will give her victory over this COVID and also the people that she's praying for in the school that she works with young children. We want God's cover and protection over those young children in Jesus' name. Go ahead. Would you pray?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for our sister Marcita, Lord. We thank you for her being in this room today, Lord. We thank you for her life, God. Despite the fact that she's been diagnosed with COVID, we thank you that she has the strength and she's, you know, feeling okay, God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you cast out the spirit of infirmity from her body in the mighty name of Jesus. Heal her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, oh God. Heavenly Father, help her to feel better. Help her body to reject the virus in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you just give her peace concerning her concerns in the school and do a miraculous work in the school. Heavenly Father, we pray that you stop the spread of this COVID dead in its tract in the school, oh God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you protect the children. We pray that you protect the faculty, the staff, all the workers in the school, oh God. Heavenly Father, please help them to just be cognizant of the measures that they need to put up for to protect themselves, but also to not be fearful in the mighty name of Jesus. Strengthen those children. We reject any COVID deaths in the in the mighty name of Jesus. No one will die. They will live and not die in the mighty name of Jesus. Marcita will get healthier speedily in the mighty name of Jesus. Her classroom will not have an outbreak in the mighty name of Jesus. We just thank you for your covering and your protection in that school in the mighty name of Jesus. Also, I just pray that no violent acts will be done in that school in the mighty name of Jesus. The children, the faculty will be covered by the blood. Heavenly Father, we pray to just protect them, protect Marcita. Just protect that entire school from any violence and any tragedies in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray that the teachers in that school will not teach those children any sinister things, oh God. Heavenly Father, you protect those children and order the words and of the teachers in that school that they would only teach edifying things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that powerful prayer. And I say in agreement, amen. The Bible says if any two of you shall agree concerning anything that they shall ask, that he will do it. Jesus said it. So I am in agreement with Sister Pearl as she has prayed for you and prayed for your school and all your children over there. And I pray the grace of God for you for quick recovery in the name of Jesus. Complete and full recovery. Mm-hmm. And that come and give the glory to God when it's all done. And the Lord will protect you as Pearl has prayed. The Lord will protect you and protect the people there, and God will blow away this virus, blow it back in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And we pray that, you know, the people will be covered, you know, with God's protection, especially the young children, you know, then they give everyone, parents and teachers and all alike, the grace to do the right thing and protect these children in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Jesus, amen. We ask that the Lord will give you grace and strength in your body, overcome this thing, and be vibrant and be in health. I wish, above all things, the Bible says, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So be in health. The Lord heal you. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord said, I will take away all sickness from the midst of you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God's promised us that if we will only obey his word and do his commandments into his statutes and do the law that he has written in our hearts, then I will not put upon you any of these other sicknesses, the sicknesses that go upon all the rest of the people. Got to make a distinction.
Yes.
And a separation between us and the children of the world. May the peace of God be with you, Masita. God bless you and strengthen you today and every day.
Amen.
And we want to hear your testimony of full recovery in not many days. Protection that God puts in your environment, in the schools there. You know, we will be praying for you, believing God. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you. In Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Well, let me see. Is there anything else anyone posted to me that I haven't seen? Okay. I think we've covered it all. Okay, well, we will be shutting down the room now just shortly. Just a quick set of announcements. By the grace of God, we will be back tomorrow. Sister Dana, how are you doing? Didn't hear from you at all today. You've been in the VIP lounge whole time. So God bless you. We will be shutting down shortly. We trust that by the grace of God, we will be here again tomorrow for another powerful session. And I'm trusting that the fire will always be burning. Remember, keep the fire burning. Even throughout the day, let our hearts be united to fear and to praise the Lord and to be in sync with the Spirit of God. You know, and as we burn wood upon that fire every morning, let that fire carry us through the day. And we'll be back tomorrow by the grace of God about the same time, 7:15 a.m. Eastern time, 4:15 Pacific time. We'll be back here tomorrow again and again and again as long as the Lord enables us. And over the weekend, I believe we'll have couple rooms as well. We'll do the prayer room, and I think we may have, I may have a walking with God session later in the day. We'll announce it. You just stay tuned. Watch for the announcements. As long as you're following me, you get notifications of those rooms when we do open them. So God bless you all, and go about your day. Be blessed. Love you all, and have a great day, and be at peace in Jesus' name. The Lord give you peace by all means necessary. The Lord give you an answer of peace in every situation. And may the divine appointments that God has set in place for you materialize into significant blessings as you experience those encounters in Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. We will be closing the room now in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Blessings, everyone. Have a good morning.